prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
It is truth revolution. We contend that you can have faith and reason. They can coexist. You don't have to get rid of your brain to follow your religion.
I want
to
live on a star.
Just stop.
I'm going to stand on a star.
You do that.
NASA says you can. Did you know that?
Did they?
Okay, we're going to come to that in just a minute. Today we're talking about the anthropic principle.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Again.
We talked about that last week.
We did.
And just so we can get the introductions out of the way, I'm Dave. This is Jeff. He's from
Revolution Church.
We are both from Revolution Church. He's the pastor.
And Dave's the bass player.
Yeah.
He's rocking. I play the electric guitar as well.
Right on.
Rock out. We're from Revolution Church, which starts not too far away, about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come to Revolution Church, come on over.
Right.
You don't have to wear anything special.
Nope.
Shorts and t-shirts, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Jeans and t-shirts, fine.
Yeah, a lot of people show up in jeans and t-shirt.
As long as you have a shirt and pants, mm-hmm. I don't care.
I wear jeans and t-shirt.
I wear jeans and, I guess I usually wear a button-up shirt. Yeah. Sometimes I wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty casual.
And I'm the pastor. I preach. So if you're wearing something better than me, not allowed! Just kidding.
We'll kick you out if you have a tie on.
If you're listening to the Truth Revolution today, maybe it's your first time. We're all about faith and reason. Mm-hmm. You can have belief in God and use your brain.
Right.
Just because your granddaddy told you that God exists doesn't mean you have to believe him.
We always all about question things. Because, like we said, like it says in the introduction of the show, sometimes some of the things you've been taught isn't always true.
That's right. Sometimes your pappy told you that God wasn't real.
Right.
And that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it, though. We're going to talk about what is real, what's not. We're open to questions. We love to discuss things. We don't have every answer for every question, but I think we have answers for the real important ones.
Right. And like we always say, it's hard to get to the truth when you don't discuss things.
Yeah, that's right. We have this phrase we use sometimes, study and learn. Opinions are of no concern.
Right.
That's what we're all about. We're studying. We're learning. We believe in the Bible. We believe it's God's word. We think we can prove it.
Right.
We also believe in science because we think science is out to find truth.
Right. Opinions don't matter. It's what is fact.
That's right. Because if science is trying to pursue truth and God is truth, then ultimately those things are going to come up with the same answers.
Right.
The Bible is true. If science is true and we're interpreting those things correctly, it's going to be the same thing. So today we're talking about the anthropic principle, which is basically the universe is so finely tuned for life to exist that it had to have been designed by mm-hmm. someone. And this is going to go into what we call the teleological argument,
right?
Which is an argument for the existence of God. So today we're going to show you that God really does exist. By the end of the show, if you don't agree that God exists, hit us up, truthrevolution.tv. Send us something and tell us why. Tell us why you did not find this argument compelling.
Right.
Because I think you should. And we're not going to beat you up, but I just want to know why you didn't find this argument compelling. Why it didn't logically work for you.
You never know. You might uncover something you didn't know.
That's true. Next week we might come back and be like, well, guys, it's over.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Someone sent in this argument, and it was really good.
Highly doubt that's going to happen, but
it hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
But we do listen. We read every email. Thank you to everyone who sends us information or talks to us or catches us on the street, or especially those of you who send in some donations.
Right.
You can do that at truthrevolution.tv. People have done it at our church. Really, thank you, because there have been a lot of people who said this show is helpful to them. And so you have helped them, and there has been a large number of people. In just a month or two, we've collected over $600 to help the show keep going.
That's
great. That's you guys helping things out. So that is really awesome. We're going to keep rolling because as long as it keeps working.
Mm-hmm. As long as people want to hear it.
As long as people want to hear it, we're going to do it. So, yeah. All right, Nobel Prize winner Jacques Monod said, "Chance alone is at the source of every innovation. Of all creation in the biosphere, pure chance, absolutely free but blind, at the very root of stupendous edifice of evolution."
What does that mean?
Chance alone. It means...
So basically, chance alone is what is at the root of everything that happens in our universe.
That's what Jacques says, my buddy Jacques.
Nice.
He says, nothing was designed, it was just all coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, we didn't finish everything from last week, all the evidences, okay? Because this guy's saying it's all about chance. And I'm saying I don't believe that because the odds are ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, I don't play the lottery because I think the odds aren't good enough. But if you call this a cosmic lottery, and I have to play either the cosmic lottery or the state lottery, I'm playing the state lottery every time because the odds are so much better.
Well, we talked about that last week. It's like one in one quadrillion.
The odds of life, things being such that life could exist, and this is just like be having a planet where life could exist. Mm-hmm. If you use 20 factors, and there's probably hundreds of them, but if you just use 20 factors, it's one out of a quadrillion.
Right.
And there's only 100 billion stars in our galaxy. So life should not occur in our galaxy, statistically speaking.
I feel so alone.
Don't feel alone. You're here with me. I'll take care of you.
We're alone then.
Richard Dawkins, the atheist, in his book, The Blind Watchmaker, himself admits, now remember this book is written to say basically God doesn't exist.
Right.
But it's so funny in there because he basically admits that the universe is finely tuned. It's so detailed that someone had to have designed it. Listen to how he says this. It's so funny. He says, each nucleus of a cell contains a digitally coded database larger in information content than all 30 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica put together.
Wow.
Okay, that's just the nucleus of a cell. It contains so much digitally coded database, it's so much larger in information content than all 30 volumes of Encyclopedia Britannica put together. He says, and this figure is for each cell, not all of the cells of the body put together. Every single cell in your body. This is Richard Dawkins, the atheist, saying this. How can he say this and be an atheist?
That's crazy to think about, though. When I was a kid, I used to, for fun, sit down and read the World Book Encyclopedia, which is, you know, like the Britannica. But, I mean,
and imagine you read not one encyclopedia, but every encyclopedia out of 30 volumes, and you've just finished one nucleus of one cell.
How many cells we got in our body? Billions?
Eight? No, I don't know. Yeah, eight. I mean, we've got billions. Eight. You know, Clay, I mean, we've got so many. I'm eight. I'm still a zygote.
Right.
You know, we've got, it's ridiculous the amount of information in our bodies, and every piece of information has to be exactly right.
Right.
I mean, if there are big errors, you get big problems. People don't live. I mean, the universe in general exhibits fine-tuning. Let me talk about the synthesis of carbon for a second.
Okay.
All right. The vital core, this is a quote from Dr. Patrick Glynn. The vital core of all organic molecules is carbon, right?
Okay.
It's on a significant scale, involves what scientists view as astonishing coincidence in the ratio of the strong force to electromagnetism. This ratio makes it possible for carbon-12, that's the carbon that makes up our bodies, to reach the excited state of exactly 7.65 MeV at the temperature typical of the center of the stars, which creates a resonance involving helium-4, beryllium-8, and carbon-12, allowing the necessary binding to take place during a tiny window of opportunity, 10 to the 17th power seconds long.
Can you speak English for a minute, please? What exactly did he just say?
Okay. The way your atoms work, the way carbon combines with the way it creates the resonance frequencies to bind properly in your body occurs at such a high heat, and it only occurs for a fraction of a split second. This is just like if you were to say, okay, Dave, I'm going to make your body ready for life to exist. Go. Done. Okay, your chances are over.
Right.
That's it. Okay, let's just put it, like, the way cells work, it's just that quick, and it's done.
Right.
All right, now we've talked about, like, inside your cells. We've also talked about things in the galaxy. Like, the atmosphere has to be nitrogen and oxygen. The average temperature on Earth is 57 degrees. You know the average temperature on Mercury is? 800 degrees. Average temperature
That's
on Venus? 870 degrees.
Oh, not too much different.
Mars? Negative 50. Now, I've actually been in negative 50. It's ridiculous.
Man, we could actually live there, actually.
No, you couldn't. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Build an igloo,
look, we've existed for moments in negative 50, but you don't build entire societies in negative 50.
Yeah. That's just the average, though, right?
That's the average.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it does get colder.
It does get a lot colder.
All right, I'm staying here.
Jupiter and Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, they're all hydrogen and helium atmospheres. You couldn't even live. There's not even solid rock on a lot of those. I mean, it's just our planet is the only one that has the right type of atmosphere. And if you listen last week, you know it's a lot more than just the atmosphere. It's the moon. It's right. the type of water. It's the amount of water. It's
plate
the
tectonics.
Plate tectonics. Mm-hmm. It's the recycling of the land. It's the moon, the size of the moon, the distance of the moon, the threshold of the moon, the density of the moon. And we can go on and on and on about all the things that are finely tuned, the strength of the weak nuclear force, the strength of the strong nuclear force, the strength of gravity. If any mm-hmm. of these things was just different, just a little tiny bit, we would cease to exist.
You know, one of the things that we use as an example of like creation
yeah.
is the watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? But really, if you look at it, a watch is very crude. Even the most finely crafted watch on the face of the earth is very crude.
Compared to our bodies.
Yeah, compared to our bodies, compared to the universe.
Yeah.
That's but, crazy.
And picture it this way. This is, you know, where I think it was William Paley years ago came up with this analogy. He said, imagine you're walking in a forest and you look down and you see a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to assume? Are you going to assume that the watch occurred there accidentally by natural means?
Well, you know, it sprouted up and you got to find the seeds so you can make other plant watch plants,
Does
right?
Does anyone have a Rolex seed? It takes a lot of water.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no one is going to, inside a forest, find a watch and assume, wow, this must have occurred by accident.
Right.
Because it's too complicated. It just doesn't happen. I mean, if there were anthropologists going through a rainforest, and they said to a camera that was following them, we are the only people to have ever been in this part of the rainforest in all of history. And then you heard someone go crunch, and they looked down, and they just stepped on a Rolex watch.
Uh-huh.
I almost said Rolex. Rolex watch. They would say, oh, I guess we weren't the only people to be here.
Right.
Right? Because you know a watch is way too complicated. It's way too specific. I mean, the dials have to be perfect. The gears have to be just right. Mm-hmm. You can't just find one by accident.
Right.
And we are way more complicated than a watch. The universe is way more complicated than a watch. The earth is way more complicated than a watch. Your DNA is way more complicated than a watch. Your eyes are more complicated than a watch. Mm-hmm. The way that you grow hair or not is way more complicated
than a watch. I don't know. Have you seen my eyebrows sometimes?
The patterns formed by the hair on your eyebrows uh-huh. is not more complicated than a watch. But you get the point. I mean, okay, now I told you that I wanted to walk on a star when the show began, right?
Right.
Check this out.
You said NASA said we could do that?
NASA said we'd do this. It says, this is an article from NASA via Wired. When you think of stars, you probably imagine massive burning balls of fire, much like our sun. But there are stars out there in space which you could actually stand on and not be burnt to a crisp.
Really?
This is crazy. You ready?
Okay.
NASA has known that these celestial bodies called brown white dwarf stars for a great long time. But now, a satellite has spotted a particularly chilly dwarf that holds the new record for the coolest star at just 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow. It's the eighth dwarf.
It's like San Diego. Eighth dwarf.
Yeah, chilly. You know, you got dopey,
sneezy, chilly.
Chilly.
That's awesome. I mean, could you imagine going to a star?
80 degrees.
80 degrees. I don't know if you can actually stand on it or not. I mean, imagine it's still fire.
I don't know. Fire at 80 degrees? I don't know.
Some kind of fission.
But that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I want to know more about it. But brown dwarf stars are basically referred to as failed stars
mm-hmm.
because their comparatively low mass keeps them from being able to fuse atoms like our own sun. Now, here's what's interesting. If our sun didn't have all the elements exactly right, it wouldn't have existed, thus we wouldn't have existed.
Right.
It would have been a brown Y dwarf star. Maybe it would have been a much bigger, more massive star. Maybe it would have been similar to the size it is now, but you know, wouldn't have exported any metal or later on. Or
well, if you think about this, and this is crazy to think about, because if our universe or if our sun didn't exist the way it did, then we wouldn't exist anywhere in our galaxy because the chances are so low.
So low. I just made a mistake. I want to correct. I said okay. I said the star wouldn't have exported any metal. I had some wires crossed there. Stars actually do export metal. That's okay. That's how they...
Is that their chief export?
Well, that's how we get things like iron.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes nickel on our planet. It's not like you don't create iron like you do oil. Like iron is from stars that have basically exploded on supernova and shot like these elements out into space, and they've coalesced and become part of our Earth.
Gotcha.
All right. So anyway, but basically, we could walk on these brown white dwarf stars, but I mean, the odds that our star would be like it is are very low. So I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take all this information that we've thrown out there, lots of cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to bring it down and show why this all means God exists. Today we're going to put it in three simple lines, just one, two, three, and then you're going to go, oh, God exists.
Right.
And we're going to show you that right after the break. Go to truthrevolution.tv. If you haven't gotten dressed and out of bed yet this morning, do it right now and then come on over to Revolution Church at 10:15.
Yep.
All right, we're across from Ace Hardware. You are more than welcome. We've got some rock and music, preaching that matters to your life, good kids program. So check us out, truthrevolution.tv, slinerevolution.com for the church. We'll see you right after this break.
Prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
And we're back.
We're back,
Truth Revolution. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. We're talking about the anthropic principle.
Say that again three times fast.
We're talking about the anthropic. No, I'm not going to do that.
Just the word anthropic.
Anthropic. We don't have enough time for this.
Okay. So we're talking about the anthropic principle.
Well, I'm keeping you in line. That's a change.
Check out Revolution Church. We're starting at 10:15, so not too far from now. And if you want to find us online, truthrevolution.tv is our radio show. SlinerRevolution.com is our church.
Right.
So check both those out. If you're interested in donating to the radio show, you can help us keep it on the air. We would greatly appreciate that. You can start donating at PayPal with 99 cents.
99 cents.
A buck.
If we get a million people to donate 99 cents, we'll be on the air forever.
Really? That'd be cool.
Well, maybe not forever, all right, but seemingly forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we can hire people who know what they're talking about.
Right.
All right. We're gonna finish this anthropic principle thing. I'm going to read you one line of an argument.
Before we do this.
What?
Let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Sorry to interrupt.
You enjoy interrupting
me. I do. Because I love Bible contradictions because, you know, the more we knock down of these, the more I'm sure of my faith.
Mm-hmm. So. I like it when people ask these. Mm-hmm. So if you know of a Bible contradiction, or you think you do, or you heard of one, let us know. They're fun to answer.
All right. In 1 Samuel, sorry.
1 Samuel?
About, no, Judges. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was looking at the wrong page. Judges 11:26 said, "For 300 years, Israel occupied Heshbon." However,
Heshbon.
Yeah. If you add up all the years of the reigns of the judges during that time, it equals 410 years.
Not 300.
No, not 300. That's kind of weird math. What's up with that?
Okay, so if you take, for instance, like a judge, there was a judge named Deborah. There was a judge named Samson.
Right.
If you add up all the years that these people were judges, it comes out to 410 years during this time in Heshbon. But Judges 11:26 says it was 300 years, so what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is actually fairly easy to answer. This one's a little more complicated. Like, you couldn't just get this by just reading the text.
Right.
You'd have to think a little bit, but it's really not very difficult. Basically, there were overlapping reigns with the judges.
Okay.
Duh. I mean, the judges weren't like kings where, you know, one was king until the other king died and then he took over. So you could have multiple judges at one time. So you can't say, you know, oh, if you add up the reigns of the judges, it equals 410 years because some of them were judges at the same time.
Okay, gotcha.
So, you know, plus, they would also claim partial years as full years when they counted. You know, so if they were a judge from July of one year to July of the next year, they'd say
2 years.
2 years, okay. But really it was just 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like when you know, we would say, let's assume President Obama doesn't get reelected. We would say, well, he was president from 2008 to 2013.
Right.
Well, it sounds like 5 years. It sounds like 5 years because he's president until in January when the new one's inaugurated. But he really wasn't president for 5 years. He was really president for 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's just the way you use the numbers.
Right.
So that's the answer for a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Anthropic principle.
Are you writing a song over there?
A theme song for the anthropic principle. I think it's going to go top 40.
Top 40. Maybe in your household.
No, not even there. Okay, anthropic principle. What are the odds that life could occur? We looked at a bunch of things like stars can't exist unless they have this. Cells have this much information. You know, planet has to have plate tectonics. You have to have a moon. All sorts of stuff, right? Here's the argument to show that God exists from all that crazy information. Number one, this is a logical argument. Number one, all designs imply a designer. Number two, there is great design in the universe. Mm-hmm. Now, if all designs imply a designer, and there is great design in the universe, that implies that there's a great designer right. of the universe. Not implies, that means there is a great designer of the universe.
Right, we just have to figure out who that designer is.
That's right. So, this proves that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and basically, let's take these one by one for a second, okay? All designs imply a designer. This means that if you see something that is looks designed, someone had to have designed that. Now, when I say look designed, we mean a couple things. I don't mean like you walk into a forest and you see two trees laying down, it looks like a cross. You're like, oh, right. someone made it. That's not what we're talking
right.
about. We're talking about complexity and specificity, okay? Like something has to be very complex and it has to be very specific. An example of something that's complex is all the wires and buttons and knobs and screen elements on a computer.
Right.
It's very complex, tons mm-hmm. of stuff there, but it's also very specific because every wire has to be plugged into the exact right spot.
Right.
The monitor has to be hooked on just the right way. You can't go up to a computer and plug the keyboard in the monitor slot and, you know, break the motherboard in half and turn it around
right.
backwards and it still work. That's not, it's very specific. And it's also very complex. When mm-hmm. you have both of those elements, you know it was designed.
Right.
So let me give you an example of something that's complex but not specific. Let's take a bunch of marbles, you throw it on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and then you draw lines from every marble to each other. You have a very complicated design, right?
Right.
There's nothing specific about it.
Unless it makes a picture.
But it wouldn't, you see. I mean, like, unless you imagine it with your brain. Like,
oh, but you would have to. You would have to design it to make it.
You would
look
have
like
to design
picture.
It to make
I
it
see
work.
What you're talking about.
You see, and even if it could make a picture, it'd be a very simplistic picture mm-hmm. and not a specific complex
yeah.
picture.
Kind of like how clouds make fluffy things.
Right, you know, right, and things. You can kind of imagine it, mm-hmm. but you don't get anything on the order of the Mona Lisa.
Right.
That's very complex and very specific, and that's what we're talking about. Those things that are complex and specific imply a designer. And our bodies, our solar system, our galaxy, the universe, the earth, our ecosystem, our cells, all these things are very specific and very complex. You change one little thing and it doesn't work right.
Right. And what was you said earlier that each of our cells contains the entire contents of information that would fill
the Encyclopedia Britannica, 30 volumes.
That's crazy.
And I didn't say that. An atheist, Richard Dawkins,
right.
said that. So, I mean, we're not making stuff up here. Even the atheist is admitting this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he says that and then comes off saying, but then there is no God. That was all random chance. Because this random chance, the odds of this all happening without someone making it happen, it's just astronomically mm-hmm. unlikely, what we would call impossible. You're not going to walk down, you know, a random street and all of a sudden, you know, fall into a hole and find a bunch of nuts and bolts down there. And so you're going to say, well, I'm stuck in a hole. I might as well build a car. Put them in your hand, start shaking it, and poof, a car pops out.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
Because a car is very specific. It's very complex. It doesn't happen by accident. And even if you shook those nuts and bolts for a billion years, you're not going to end up with a Ford Focus. Well, maybe a Ford Focus.
Maybe a Ford
But not a Lamborghini. No. Okay, so that's number one. All designs imply a designer. Number two, there's great design in the universe, like we
mm-hmm.
talked about, right? The universe has great design. So number three, there must be a great designer.
Right.
This is the argument that shows that God exists, all right? Romans 1:20 is from the Bible. It says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, listen, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." I mean, basically what that means is you just look at the world around you.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to know this was not an accident.
Right.
It came from somewhere. Nobel Prize winner Jacques Monod, chance alone is the source of every innovation. No, I'm sorry, Jacques, it's not.
Yeah.
Chance is insufficient to explain the complexities and specificities in our universe. Chance is not able to produce creatures on the level of a cockroach, much less human beings like Mozart and Albert Einstein
right.
and my friend Dave.
Yes.
Yes, I'm putting you in the same category as Albert Einstein.
And Mozart.
And Mozart.
And a cockroach.
You are a human being. Anyway, you see where we're going here? Let me read you a couple quotes. William Dembski, this guy's got a PhD in mathematics from the University of Chicago and a PhD in philosophy from the University of Illinois at Chicago. This guy is a smart feller. He says, in our workday lives, it is absolutely crucial to distinguish accident from design. We demand answers to such questions as, did she fall or was she pushed?
Right.
Did someone die accidentally or commit suicide? Was this song conceived independently or was it plagiarized? Did someone just get lucky on the stock market or was there insider trading? Mm-hmm. What's he implying there?
Well, he's implying that there's definitely a difference between chance and no chance.
That's right. There's a difference between intention and not intention. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the universe and everything that happened, there's definitely intention implied here.
Oh, definitely.
This could not have just been an accident. Dallas Willard, great author, says, we know that locomotives, bridges, huge number of other things exist in the physical world because the design for them previously existed in a mind. Some person designed them. Only the kind of skepticism that gives philosophy a deservedly bad name can suggest otherwise. That is why if we stepped on an apparently uninhabited planet and discovered what, to all appearance, was a branch of the May Company or Sears, or even an empty Coke bottle or McDonald's hamburger wrapper, it would be flatly irrational, maybe psychologically impossible in the light of our experience to believe that they came into existence without design.
Right.
You see what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you imagine if we flew to the moon
and there's a McDonald's
and there's a
right
McDonald's?
There. That's great.
We'd be like, what's going on? I mean, you know, there'd be conspiracies everywhere because we know that doesn't just happen by chance.
Right.
We know complex things don't arise by chance.
Right.
Everybody knows it. Don't deny it. This world, very complicated. You, Dave, very complicated. You, person listening to the show, very complicated.
Yep.
I'm not talking about your relationship status.
Right.
I'm talking about you as a biological being.
Right. The way your body is held together, the way your body works.
That's right.
You know, the way it turns sugar into energy.
Maybe your relationship status is complicated. If so, I'd like to invite you to Revolution Church today.
There you go.
Even if it's
about
not.
15 minutes.
We got a lot of people with complicated relationship status. Hey, we got a lot of people that are just fun to hang out with, love to know things.
Mm-hmm. And our church does hang out. We do that a lot. I mean, we have a lot of people that just like to hang out together.
It does. So I'd like to invite you there. We're starting really soon. We got some really loud, good music. We have preaching by me, so, you know, if that's good or bad, whatever. We also have really, really good kids program. We love the kids there. You know, our basic theme for the kids is don't hinder them. You know, God made them to wiggle, run, and shout. That's what a kid does. So if you're trying to make the kid sit down and be quiet for an hour, you're fighting against
God.
Good
luck.
So, we do things there for kids at work in a really cool way that they would enjoy. So come on over, Revolution Church. Check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. And remember the teleological argument. Every design implies a designer. And the universe has great design. Therefore, there must be a great designer of the universe. That's the anthropic principle, the teleological argument. You now can prove that God exists. You now know God exists. If you still disagree, hit us up, get us a message, tell us why.
And you know what? We've been flamed before, so feel free.
We like it. All right. Have a great week. Go to truthrevolution.tv and come on over to Revolution Church this morning. We'll be waiting for you. We'll see you next week on Truth Revolution, the radio show.